Well, good morning, family. It's good to see you all, although it is unexpected. Hope you all had a good Thanksgiving and a good week. When Philip Martin called me this week to let me know that he couldn't preach, I started to think, what was I going to preach on? I had some notes on Ecclesiastes, but I wasn't quite ready to jump back into there, so I thought I would do a simple sermon on gratitude. It's Thanksgiving week, so let's think about gratitude. And I thought particularly how hard this year might have been for gratitude. Our family was not where we wanted to be. We wanted to be down in North Carolina, and we were here. It's good to be here, but we wanted to be with our family, and we couldn't be there. We had a hard spring this year of isolation. We had a really challenging summer. We had a polarizing election in the fall, and it looks like winter is going to be hard with challenges and restrictions again. So maybe this year is harder to be thankful. Came across in Thanksgiving Day, and like, what am I thankful for? You had to work. Well, maybe you did a good job Thanksgiving Day, maybe you didn't. What I'd like to do this morning is just preach a simple sermon to fuel our gratitude. Things that came to my mind to fuel my gratitude, and I hope it will help you to fuel your gratitude. Fuel for gratitude. Thankfulness, gratitude, is the natural response to blessing, protection, and love. That's how God made us. He made us to respond to Him when He showers us with blessing, protection, and love with gratitude, a sense of thanks back to Him. When we receive blessing, our hearts fill with gratitude, and we respond with praise. That's where praise comes from. When we have hearts filled with gratitude, we respond with praise. To be people of praise, we have to have hearts filled with gratitude. Well, that's easy when we feel blessing, right? It's easy when we're feeling all that protection and love. Then we feel thankful and we praise God. But if we have the right perspective, then we would always be thankful. Because what is unchanging? God's love and blessing and protection. Those things actually don't ever change. We just miss them sometimes. So we should always be thankful, always be responding with praise. But because of sin, we are often blinded by the difficulties and challenges and frustrations of our lives. So we don't recognize the unchanging blessing of God all around us. So ingratitude, the lack of thankfulness, thanklessness, is ignoring the good all around us and focusing on the challenges. And grumbling and complaining flows from ingratitude. Where praise flows from gratitude, complaining flows from ingratitude. That sort of shows what's going on in our hearts. Are we flowing with praise, or are we flowing with grumbling? That's going to give us an indication. Ingratitude is a sin. It's a refusal to honor God for His goodness that leads to grumbling against Him. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, describing the world apart from God, says, although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Describing a world apart from God, what's one of the things he says? They did not give Him thanks. Not thanking God is sin. Ingratitude, thanklessness in a hard year. Ingratitude when you're suffering, that's understandable, but it's still a sin. It's understandable, but it's still a sin. So before we begin, let's do a quick heart check. This may reveal what we think about God and sin. When you think or you hear me say it's a sin to be ungrateful to God, does that seem mean to you? Does that seem disconnected from reality? Like, how in the world? Life is hard, isn't it? Perhaps you've been hurt or ignored, passed over. Maybe things went south. Maybe you did the best you could. You did the right things and things still didn't work out. And then God's still going to tell you it's sin not to be grateful? Get real. Is that our heart? That might be something in a lot of our hearts. But there's something of that in our hearts. That response reveals that we think God is just making up the rules to be mean. That God's capricious and unkind. Maybe a little petty. Because if we can see that God is good and God is love and that it is sin because it is bad for me, it is bad for me to be ungrateful, it's not good for me, that will not lead us to joy, then we can see that is good. God's law is good. It is actually bad for me to be ungrateful. It's hard. It may not feel good. I may not feel thankful when things are hard. But I believe, faith says, I believe it is good, that God is good. So I can cry out to him that he would help me be filled with gratitude to see him rightly. We have to believe that's good for us. It's better for me to be grateful in my hurt than to be ungrateful. That's the path of peace. And that's what I want us to see this morning, that in our suffering, that this is the way of joy, gratitude, deep heart gratitude. God's way is good, and sin is always bad. So it's never going to be good for us to be ungrateful. So this morning, I want us to look at some scriptures and find fuel for our gratitude. What does the Bible tell us? I want us to see some things. I want us to stir us up that this is true. It is good for us to be thankful even when it's hard, even in 2020, even with all these things going on. So we're not going to go very deep. I got a lot of scripture. We're going to go really fast. But I want to do is just encourage your minds, encourage your hearts to think about God. And I want you to go deeper. These things are going to stir us up to be thankful, more and more thankful to God. So first, the most basic and unchanging fuel for our gratitude is God himself. We must be thankful for who God is. God himself. We start here because this is what's always true. This is the sunshine that is sometimes hidden by the clouds. It's still up there. We just can't see it sometimes. But God is always who he is, glorious and beautiful. So let's think about who God is. In just a few ways, we're going to spend eternity doing this. I'm going to take about 5 or 10 minutes. So what can we cram in here? God is good. Psalm 118, verse 29. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. We can always, every day, in every circumstance, give thanks to God because he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. So when all the world seems bad, when our own hearts feel polluted, when we've stumbled and failed, or when we've been sinned against, God still is good. He's good. And we can know all those things are bad because there's actually a standard that we can compare to. We can praise our Father because he stands as the rule and measure of goodness. He is good. So if we're surrounded by the hate and anger of our culture, God's steadfast love endures forever. Where can we go? We can go back to God and his unchanging love. Be thankful that our God is not cruel. Our God is not petty. He is love. He is good. And he always and only does good. Do you see how wonderful that is? When you look at your own hearts, what are you going to find? Well, you're going to find some not good. If you look at your neighbor, what are you going to find? You're going to find some not good. You look at each other, as lovely as you are, if we look close enough, we're going to find some not good. If we look at our world, it's surrounded and filled with not good. But there is one thing we can rejoice in that is always and only good, and that is our God. And we can be thankful. There is a good, and it will win. Be thankful that God is good. There's hope because God is good. But then secondly, see that God is righteous. Not only is he good, but he's righteous. Psalm 7:17, I will give thanks to the Lord. I will give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High. Thanks leads to praise. So not only is God good, but he's right. He only does what is right. He's righteous. So you and I, we can have good intentions. We can try to do good, but we can still get deceived. We can still do wrong. We can still make mistakes. God can't. He is righteous. So we can give thanks in the moral confusion of our age. Do we live in a morally confused age? Yes. Here is the clear, unwavering foundation of truth and right. It's God. The problem with our world today is there is no moral clarity because what feels right to one person feels desperately wrong to another person, and there is no standard beyond what I feel. But if we are our own standard and we disagree, what are we going to do about it? Just argue and fight and get worse and worse and worse because there is no standard. I mean, I've been reading some about the foundation of our country, and I don't think all those men are Christians, but they did have a sense, if you don't believe in God with a shared moral foundation, there is no way to have unity. And that's what we're seeing today. Without a shared agreement on what is moral and what is the standard of that morality, there is chaos. And that is our culture. Humanity, we are not perfectly righteous. We can't be the standard. So rather, Christians, rather than despairing because the world's a mess, we can look at God. He's not a mess. He is righteous. He is the standard. He gives clarity. He is the foundation of morality, and in him there is no confusion. And that doesn't mean we're necessarily going to be able to convince anybody else or change anybody else's mind, but we can be certain. We don't have to be blasted away by the world because God is righteous. And we can stand there. We can be thankful. Some of the language of Jesus building our house on the rock, his words, a rock. Do you understand how real that is? This is the rock. The world's crazy because they have no standard. They have no unmovable righteousness. Christian, let's not miss that. Let's be thankful. We do. We do. Let that give you confidence in your life. Though all the world may think it's foolish, we have the unmovable standard, God's righteousness. He is righteous. So we can be thankful for that. Isn't it easy to get overwhelmed with bitterness when we look at the world and anger? Let's turn that around and be thankful we have God who is righteous. Let's be thankful. Thirdly, God is holy. Psalm 30, verse 4, sing praise to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. He is holy. He is untaintable, uncorruptible, unchangeable. He stands apart perfectly from all sin and wickedness. It cannot enter into his presence. He is separated from it. There's no shadow of turning in him, no possibility of failure. He is holy, separate always and always from sin. So he is good. And he is righteous, and his holiness is separate from sin, means he cannot ever be or ever become other than good and righteous. He is holy. He is perfect. He is complete, separate from all sin. He is always these things. He is perfection, his holiness. We can be thankful that with everything that changes, even our own understanding may change. We may think something new or different. We may come to some other understanding. Our emotions change. Sometimes we have good days. Sometimes we have bad days. The world is changing. God stands holy, separate, and perfect. He's holy. He cannot fade or fail. So we can be thankful. We can be certain. Because our God is holy. Perfectly, beautifully, wonderfully holy. Now, at the end, we'll talk about how that's actually a horror to everyone who's not holy. Because if God can't stand before any sin, if no sin can stand in his presence, that keeps him pure, that's not good news for sinners. We need something better. But as those who have been redeemed, for us, we can give thanks. Because God's holiness is the perfection that we will enjoy forever, and it is our hope of perfection, knowing that God will never change because he is holy. Now we can go on and on and on with other attributes, but the fourth attribute or thing about our God I want us to see is I wanted to bring that home to us. He is our God. And this problem, maybe, how do you do these things? This is the most amazing of all these. Maybe he is perfectly good, perfectly righteous, perfectly holy. And we can go on wisdom and strength and power, and we'll talk about some of those as we go on. But isn't it amazing that he is our God? We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. I love Psalm 100. It's one of my favorites. It's short. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. And his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. I love that psalm. But right in the middle of that glorious psalm, he says, you're mine. He's our God. Oh, his glorious, look at his love, look at his goodness. Look how wonderful he is. He made us and he's ours. He says, you're mine. We are the sheep of his pasture. That is glorious. Whatever is happening, brothers and sisters, whatever befalls us, whatever difficulties our sins bring, our failures bring, whatever difficulties other people's sin and failures bring, yet we can know this, we belong to God. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture, and he is faithful. So come into his courts with thanksgiving. Come with praise and singing. He is good. So let's pause for a moment and give thanks to God for who he is, that we are his. If you're not a part of God's family this morning, through Jesus Christ, you are welcome to come right now and believe on Jesus, to find this belonging today, where the good, righteous, holy God says, you are mine. Your sins can be forgiven if you believe on Jesus. So what I'm going to do after each of the big sections here, I want us to pause and pray for just a minute. We're going to thank God. And I'm going to give you some space, and I'm going to say a few words, but give you some space to be thankful. Be thankful for who God is. Don't just in one ear and out the other. Think about it. Be thankful because of who God is. So, Father, thank you for who you are. You are good. Thank you, Father. For you are righteous. Thank you, Father, for you are holy. And I thank you because I am yours and you are mine. Father, fill our hearts with gratitude. Help us to see you rightly. And be filled with thanksgiving and praise. So we're going to go on now. We're going to think again, another reason for us to be thankful to God. We want to be thankful for who he is, but now we want to turn our attention to what he's done. Thankful for the world that God has made. Now, Psalm 104 and 105 sit side by side there. And Psalm 104 is this long psalm about what God has done. All his creation. And it ends with praise, but then the next psalm, 105, talks about all that he's done, and it's all about thanksgiving. So listen to the beginning of Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. In verse 5, he sets the earth on its foundation so that it would never be moved. And you covered it with deep as with a garment, and the water stood above the mountains. And the psalm goes on where the mountains, he rises the mountains up out of the water, and he puts them in their place. And he sets the boundaries of the sea, and he makes springs for the animals to drink, and the grass for the animals to eat. He makes all these things. It goes on and on, all that he's made and he does. He's made this beautiful place, all this wonder and all this splendor. And then Psalm 105 comes. And it says, oh, give thanks. What do we respond to? See all this beauty. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. All this, all that he's done. And sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. Look at what he's done. Remember and marvel, find joy and give thanks for all that God has done. Look at the world around you. These are the works of God. How often we walk through this world and we don't even notice the miracle of this creation. This is the work of God. When everything seems broken in our culture and all around us, what can we do? We can look up and we can see the sky. Look at the blue. See the clouds moving and marvel at the beauty and majesty and creation of God. What creativity. Look at the trees. I love trees always. I love the leaves, but I love the winter. Because then you can see all those little tiny branches. It's just the mass is it's just incredible that God's brilliant mind created this beauty. Look what God has done. You can look at a little beetle crawling on the floor. We don't even notice it, insignificant, but just look closely and marvel at the mind of God. At that little beetle crawling over the floor. A graceful deer leaping over. Now, my family sees a lot of deer because we are obsessed with them. So you don't notice, but we see them all. If we're driving, if we're walking, we find them and we look at them and we love them. Dead or alive, we love seeing them. We love deer. But just seeing them, how graceful it bounds. We don't even notice, and there they are. Can you think of all God's creation? And then they're in the woods, and these little creatures, and we hardly even see them. And God is just for his own delight and for our delight to see them occasionally. This is God's creation happening all around us. The colors of a sunrise or a sunset, the colors of splash across the sky. Half the time we don't even notice. And they change. The brilliance of it is it changes and fades, and then there's a new morning. Or there's another night. What beauty there is. Beautiful. What's wonderful, a friend of mine one time was complaining. He says, there's all these sunsets, and I never get up and see them, or I feel bad if I miss one. And I was like, you can't see them all. Do you realize the sun is setting every second of every day somewhere on earth? It's rising and setting all the time. You can't see them all, but what we can do is see and recognize this, the beauty of God. You know what? God does see them all. He imagined them all. He created them all. He made sure the clouds were just the right place. The sun was hitting just the right way. He did that. And nobody noticed it. He notices. He's filled our world with beauty and creativity. This is what God has done. So look around and see the splendor of God on display. Open your eyes and give thanks. Praise God. There's so much to be thankful for. It's a good habit to be in. There was a time in my life where I went through a very ungrateful phase. I was just bitter. By God's mercy, it just helped me to start recognizing that in myself. Am I being bitter and unhappy, ungrateful? To stop in that moment, find something to be thankful for. And a lot of times it was just look at that piece of grass. That's really green and really beautiful, and I haven't noticed it. I mean, you just get small. Or look at that tree. Or look, feel that breeze. Just find something in that moment and say, God, I'm thankful for that. And put your energy for a minute in just thinking about it. How good that breeze feels. How beautiful those trees look. Look at the way the light plays on my cup of water. God is doing all these wonderful things, and if we're missing it, just take a moment and say, thank you, God. Thank you for your goodness. And as slowly it turns our heart to remember, we are surrounded by things we can give thanks for all the time. Let's see this beautiful world. So let's take a second now. I want you to think. I want to pray again. Give you time to pray. Give thanks to God for the beautiful world that he's created. So I'm going to say some words, and again, I want you to fill up your heart with gratitude. Father, we thank you for this world that you have made. We thank you for the variety that you have created, for the complexity. We thank you for the beauty that takes our breath away, the beauty that makes us feel calm and comfortable. We thank you for your goodness. We marvel and praise you for the miraculous wonder of your amazing creation. It's good for us to be thankful, brothers and sisters. So now as we give thanks to God for his creation, that's going to quickly lead us to giving thanks for God and his provision. So now let's look thirdly. Let's be thankful for the good things that God gives us. If you look on your sheet, you can see Psalm 111, verses 1 through 6. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. For great are the works of the Lord, studied by all those who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. And this is what he starts praising God for, all these things. Verse 4, he says, he caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He caused his works to be remembered. Isn't it? We have a Bible. We didn't have to. But God caused his works to be remembered. We can be thankful that we have a Bible. He's provided us his word. Verse 5, he provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant. He made a covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of nations. And it goes on and on. God has provided so much for us. God's power, his might, is engaged to provide for his people. He's given us an inheritance. Now, you have the old covenant context, you have of the inheritance of nations. That had some context of people bringing things into Israel, the land that Israel had. But we have the new covenant context of that, where we look ahead to the future, that God has provided for us an inheritance of a new heavens and a new earth that will never fade away. It's our perfect and full provision that we can be thankful for. No matter what's happening, we can always give thanks for that. We have a hope for the inheritance of nations that is unchangeable before us. But God's also given us his law, his Bible, that we might know him. The record of all that he has done. I mean, do we stop and recognize how wonderful a blessing it is to have a Bible? How lost we would be. And there could have been other things, but maybe it's just passed down the stories, traditions passed down, how mixed up that would be. But we don't. We have the written word written down. And not only that, it wasn't like we have some gold plates that came down and can't ever find them. God gave his words through his people, and we can go through history and look and find, this is where this was copied, and this is where this was copied, and this is where that was copied. Wait a second, that was changed. Uh-oh. Well, let's go back some further. Where did it change? Oh, here's where it changed. This is probably what that, and then we can go back. God has given us such a wonderful repository of truth in his Bible, and he's given it to us in history. So we can go back and see, this is what God has done. We can go back and say, yes, talking about that gate there, and here it is, that we can go find it. It's amazing. We have the truth of God in his word, the certainty of God's salvation revealed to us, his mind in his Bible. His works were remembered because he's written them for us. We can give thanks. He's made a covenant with us. He has committed himself to his work, to do us good. We can be, God, you have done this. Be thankful for God's promise to do us good. But then he also, I mean, think of those are big things. We can be saved. We know we have his word. But he also gives us food. He gives us what we need to eat. He gives those good gifts to satisfy us, to satisfy hungers that he gave us. He made us creatures that needed food. He gave us food to satisfy our hunger. He made us have a preacher that needed a relationship with him. And when we screwed that up, he gave us his word and his spirit so we could have a relationship with him. He gave us these gifts to satisfy us because that's what we were made for, to be satisfied by God. It's when we start looking for everything else, trying to fill our souls our own way, that we're no longer satisfied. When the wondrous works of God aren't interesting to us, just we want our own works, our own things, our own way, we begin to weaken and starve. Ingratitude seeps in because nothing's ever good enough if we try to do it on our own. So friends, let's see, what has God done for you today? I mean, what has God done for you today? Did you eat breakfast? Did you get some water? I can't make this. We might be able to figure out how to make the bottle. We can't make the things that make the bottle, but we can figure out how to make the bottle. We can figure out how to put the water in the bottle. We can't figure out how to make the water, but we can put the water in the bottle. God has to do these things. These are God's gifts to us. Let's not take them for granted. Let these things fuel our gratitude and be satisfied by God's provision for us today. I love Psalm 23. Everybody loves Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. First thing he starts, he provides for us. He gives us what we need. I shall not want. I won't want anything because I have what I need. God knows what we need. As Jesus taught, he provides for the birds and the flowers. How much more valuable are we than they? And Jesus is our model. He reminds us what I love about Jesus. Every time he eats in the Bible, he gives thanks beforehand, right? Before he feeds us the thousands of people, he breaks the bread. He gives thanks. And he breaks the bread. He hands them out. Sitting in the Last Supper, before he sits with his disciples, he breaks the bread. He gives thanks, breaks the bread, passes it out. Jesus never sinned the sin of ingratitude, and he was God. But he was grateful for everything. So, I mean, this really is the easy one. If we recognize all the good things God gives us, that should stir us up to be thankful, to look around and say thanks. So I think it's not a mandate in the Bible you should pray before every meal, but God, Jesus did it, and it is a very good habit to be in, to pray. Not as a simple rote, like some sort of magic thing you say before you eat or something you run through real quick, but as a habit to make yourself stop and think, God, you are giving me good things. Thank you. Stop. Stop before you stuff it in your mouth. God, you've given me this good thing. Thank you. Teach our children to recognize these good things come from God. This is what we do. We need to stop regularly throughout our day and give thanks to God. Before bed, it's a good habit to stop and thank God for another day. These are good habits to be in, to fuel our gratitude. We remember what God has done. So let's pause now. Let's think about God's provision for us. And I want us to thank God. Take in your own heart, thank God for how he's provided for you and your family. Father, thank you for giving us all that we need. Thank you, Father, for giving us your word to feed our souls, for food to fill our bellies, for clothes to warm our backs. You've made an everlasting covenant to reconcile us to you, redeeming us from death. God, fill our hearts with thankfulness. You are worthy. When we think of the good things, it's easy to respond to God with thankfulness, but it's harder when we're suffering. The fourth point. Thankful to God for the hard times. Now, we don't give thanks to God because we enjoy pain and suffering. That's broken. That's absurd. That's unnatural. But as Paul says in Romans 5, we rejoice in our suffering, not because we rejoice in suffering, but because we know something, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We can be thankful for suffering because we know what God does through suffering. God is at work in us to will and to work, and many times God uses suffering to do that work. We endure. So even that language of Paul there, it teaches us endurance. I mean, it's not all of a sudden it's fun. Wow, this is suffering is fun, but we can endure it. We can grow in endurance with gratitude because we realize that God is teaching us in a way that we wouldn't learn otherwise that God's grace is sufficient. It's through suffering we come to know that God's grace is sufficient. Not to think about it, not think, well, that's neat. That's really warm and fun, but we depend on it when through suffering we come to know it deep in our bones. God's grace is sufficient. He is enough, and suffering teaches us that. We learn that he is good, and his goodness transcends our experience, but we can only know that through suffering. When we learn our lesson in the difficulty of suffering, Peter saw that in 1 Peter 1. He says he's rejoicing in the gospel. In this gospel, you rejoice. Rejoicing in what God has done, even though we still rejoice for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved. It's hard. You've been grieved by these various trials so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is in suffering that faith is tested and proved true. Now, is God curious? Like, oh, wow, I wonder if you're faithful. God knows our hearts, but through the testing, through the difficulty that's displayed out for us to see ourselves and trust God more, and for the world to see a refined human being where the sins and selfishnesses are pruned away and God's glory shines forth more brightly. The faith is proved, and that's worth it. So friends, we can be thankful because our good God is doing good even through the difficulties of our lives. And that's something to be thankful for. Not thankful for the suffering. Thankful that through the suffering, God's still doing good. That's how good our God is. Be thankful. Because Romans 8:28, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. We can give thanks. I want you to listen and believe this. Because in difficulty, it does hurt and it's hard. That's why we have to stop and think, God, you are still good and I believe that you are doing good and I can't see what you're doing. All I can see is the hurt. So I turn my heart and say, God, I believe you are good. I see that you are good, and I trust that you are doing good, and in that, we can grow in thanksgiving that will fill our hearts with gratitude. So now, let's pause for a moment and thank God for the difficulties, for being good in our difficulty. Just take a moment. Father, we thank you for being so wise, for being so powerful that not one ounce of suffering is ever wasted on your children. We are safe in your love, even when we're scared, even when we're suffering. And so we thank you, God, that even in the pains of life, we can know that you are good, and you're doing what is right, and that I'm safe in your love. Thank you for loving us enough to do what it takes to keep us growing in Jesus Christ. The great foundation of our love, brothers and sisters, of our thankfulness, excuse me, is Jesus Christ, the very image of the invisible God. So as we come to a close here, we can be thankful for the grace that we have received through Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given to you in Christ Jesus. You look at each other and say, I give thanks for you because what God's done, God's given us grace. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have the grace of God. He's welcomed us into this grace. He's made peace with us, so we stand in this grace, so we can rejoice. We can give thanks in every circumstance because of the grace of God. We have the hope of glory. Friends, we didn't deserve it. We deserve death and hell. We have sinned. We have been ungrateful. We don't deserve any good thing. And this is the truth. So as we think about who God is, God would still be good and God would still be right if he sent us all to hell. No contradiction there. He is not, was not bound by anything to show us grace. But as Ephesians 2 says, but God being rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. Because of the great love with which he loved us, he chose to set his love on us, to chose to show us mercy. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In God's grace, he showed us grace because of his great mercy and his love. And in that grace, we've been changed. We're no longer just the dead in sin, lost person. We now have God's grace. We stand in his grace. We've been changed by his grace. 2 Corinthians 5, fantastic chapter. Verse 18, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. That's the word Pete was telling us about this morning. We were at odds. He made peace with us and God. And he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So now we're peacemakers. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. The grace that we have received that is giving us life, it fills us with grace so that we are changed and we live lives for Christ in the work of reconciliation. So we can be thankful for the grace of God in us. God has filled our lives with purpose and grace. We have the privilege and the responsibility to proclaim the grace of God to the world. We have been given the position of son, the position of ambassador. We have been changed by the grace of God. We've been given new life. Romans 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? We're not that person anymore. We've received the grace of God. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him, and by baptism into death. That old part of you is dead, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We've been changed. That's the grace of God. We can be thankful. That was the prayer of confession this morning. We try to do it ourselves, right? We try to fix ourselves and heal ourselves. That's not the gospel. The gospel is through grace, dead people are made alive, and we have been changed. We have been healed. And when we see sin in our lives, we don't despair and just try to get our bootstraps. We have the grace of God to change us. We cry back, we fall back and cry to Christ, change me, heal me, help me, because it's true. He is changing us by his grace. We have new life. In verse 16, verse 17 of chapter 6, so thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you've been committed. You were slaves to sin, now you're obedient. We didn't do that on our own. God's grace did that. We can be thankful for the grace of God. This is the foundation of our gratitude. Jesus Christ. We've received the grace of God in him. We've been transformed by that grace of God in him. We now live for him. There's our joy and peace and purpose for all who believe on Jesus Christ. And in Christ we come to know the goodness of God, the righteousness of God, and the holiness of God. And now this is where I started at the beginning. If we knew the goodness and righteousness and holiness of God apart from Christ, we would be obliterated. Cast into hell forever and ever. Sin cannot stand, but in the grace of Jesus Christ, changed by him, he clothes us in righteousness. He covers us in righteousness so we can stand before God. Does this not fuel your gratitude? You can stand before the holy, perfect judge of the universe and be judged rightly, innocent, just, righteous because of the grace of Jesus Christ. So is that you today? Are you believing in Jesus Christ? If I'm a believer, then believe him. Believe this is who he is. This is what you have in him. Have hearts filled with gratitude for who he is and what he has done for you. Believe that God is for you in Jesus Christ. Believe in the love of God in Christ for you and live for him and be filled with gratitude. Colossians 3, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Believe it. Let his peace rule in your hearts. We're one body, and be thankful. Believe him. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, do you see why that makes sense now? Because everything we've talked about today never changes. God is always good, always righteous, always holy. He created the world for us that we miss, that we take for granted. He provides for us. He oversees our difficulties, and he saved us through the grace of Jesus Christ. Those things never, ever change. So we can give thanks in every circumstance if we will stop and look and see what's true. Give thanks in every circumstance. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. If you have not believed on Jesus Christ, that's not you, then none of these things are true. The world is for you to enjoy, but you've rejected the Creator. You receive provision, but you don't give thanks. You're looking for things other than what God is giving. Consider for a moment your life and your heart and your future. You've sinned. When we look for ourselves, to serve ourselves, ingratitude will eat us alive. Because living for self never satisfies us. We'll always want more, and no one serves us enough, and so we get unthankful, bitter, and grumpy, and complaining. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, as an ambassador for Christ, we're making God's appeal. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's for you if you will believe on Jesus Christ today and call on him. And in that eternal life, there's gratitude, thankfulness for the blessings that never, ever cease. The peace and joy and praise of God will fill your heart. So let's believe on Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters. Let's believe on him, give thanks, and let's live in the joy of our Lord. It's real for you today. Let's pray one more time and give thanks. Father, we thank you above all for all the blessings that we have. Above all, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. Sending your Son into this broken, rebellious world to die for us, broken, rebellious, sinful people, to die for our sins. You sent your Son, and in his love we have found love, in his light we have found life. Oh, Father, work in our hearts to live lives that know more and more of your truth, that we will be filled with thankfulness and live lives of praise. We thank you, Father, for your goodness, and we love you. We thank you for your Spirit that changes us. We thank you for your Word, that your Son that saves us. In his precious name we pray. Amen.